Blog Talk Radio.
And one last thing, our next guest, Papadon, says hi.
Oh, Papadon's going to ask you to be a host on his show, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I always, you know. If you have a show, he'll ask to be on it.
We've had him on plenty of times, let me tell you. But
it pretty much is his show, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Poopadon will always ask for that's what I call him, Poopadon.
I'm not saying a word.
This is Niles Young, the greasiest and most dastardly Italian in all of professional wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Good, good, good. Any questions?
No, I'm good. You know, I just wanted to say that I do find that your unique brand of derision and condescension refreshing after a long day of work.
Good. I'm glad to see I could put a smile on your face after you work in the corner all day long for your man pimp. No problem.
This is the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
It's like a Christmas gift. It starts out so well, you unwrap it, and it's filled with...
Nah, have a good time. That to edit. Have fun.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio.
Filthy mouth.
What?
Filthy mouth on him.
Well, sometimes things just happen, Dan. Good evening, and welcome to another exciting edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. We're back live, Dan.
Oh, you can't ever... no more... I can't take time off.
Well,
so many things happen.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so many things happen, and I have nothing and nowhere to spew it.
Well, we're back, Dan.
Yes, we're back.
And I'm so excited tonight. We got so much going on because we have to catch up with everybody. But first, you can follow me. I am, of course, your host, Double D, the Dean of Credibility, and you can follow me at Folsom County. You can also follow my co-host, and that's...
My name's Dan.
That's right, Dan, the man, the above-average comedian, Dan, the man, Law.
At DanLaw83.
And that's on the Twitter. You can also follow us... well, subscribe, first of all, on iTunes. That's what everybody should do, because that's what we do. Subscribe on iTunes.
Pretty much, that's all we do.
Proudly part of thebradyhicks.com. You can follow the Twitter. And where is that Twitter, Dan?
It is HIAC Talk Radio. Yak! Talk Radio.
That's right. And also like the Facebook. That's facebook.com/cellinahell.
Not next to Cat and Dave's reporting.
No, nowhere near it. Nowhere near it. Now, you can also call in and join the NS at 718-664-9133, Dan. Now, tonight, we have just so much going on now. Starting, I'm so excited, Dan.
I have no idea what to do.
Right, we got Foxy, though. She's going to kick things off in just a few moments. Of course, Foxy had a very long career. In the business.
She's only 20.
She only looks 20, Dan.
Yeah, pretty much.
But anyway, that's besides the point. We're going to talk to her, and now she's a Nerd Herder, Dan.
Yes, Nerd Herder. My favorite. My only other favorite show on the internet.
That's right.
9 o'clock Fridays.
We're also going to have, Dan, the financial miracle, Loudy.
Ah, Loudy.
And I cannot wait for that moment. You actually interviewed him at the last New Moon Rising Wrestling show. So we
never saw the light of day, which most of my stuff does. Disappear.
Oh, just stop it.
Well, it was because he wasn't good enough.
Dan, the return of
yes.
the writer. Robert Knight happened
yes.
tonight.
Yes, I want to know what happened. I mean, I picked him to win, and nothing. No title.
You know, we were speaking off air, Dan, that perhaps it was his training regimen that led to his downfall.
No, I'm not going to go there.
Anyway.
You dig your own hole.
The return of...
More training than Roughneck.
Stop it. Stop. I'm telling you, the pork...
just off the rails already.
The pork roll on a pole, Matt, Dan. That's what I'm waiting for. Pork roll on a...
the cheesesteak coffin match.
Oh, good gracious.
We're so dead.
He hasn't called in yet, so I think we're fine. Anyway, we also are going to be joined by LJ Cruz this Saturday. He is challenging the United States champion, Ty Reno, who somehow made it past my thorough security check.
I told you he was going to – I told you that your security check was nothing and that it was a completely waste of time. Nobody listens to me.
A thorough security check, he made it past. So
he gave everything to never mind.
So LJ Cruz, and that's our show. But right now, Dan, we have a Nerd Herder. We have
Foxy.
We're going to find out about the business. We're going to find about her career. We're going to find about everything.
We're going to find out about.
That's right. Right after this, Dan.
After that.
I got the nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got the nerd rage.
All right. Good evening, Foxy. Foxy, you are on the line with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. How are you tonight?
I am good. I'm actually popping huge that you guys played the Nerd Herders song. I was not expecting that.
I do my homework, or at least I hope I did tonight. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
So, Foxy, you're with Dean, you're with Dan, and we're quite excited about this. Now, of course, when you start an interview, you always start with, how did you break in?
Oh, Lord. Okay. I'll give
it's an obvious question. I'm sorry.
Yes,
go
it
ahead.
Is. No, I'll give the cliff notes. You know, watched it as a child with my father. I loved Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth and their pairing. So I'm like, all right, I want to do that one day. Fast forward a few years later, you know, I kind of forgot about it. Fast forward a few more years later to when I was in high school and an independent wrestling company was running shows around my town of ECPW. So I'm like, hey, let's start going to independent shows. So we did. They had a wrestling school, and I signed up on my 17th birthday and started training with them. A year later, in 99, when I turned 18, I made my debut as Foxy.
Okay, so you were 17, you trained for that entire year, I guess, before you could legally debut, correct?
Well, Gino Caruso, the guy that ran ECPW and still does, he actually wanted me to start working when I was about 6 months into my training, and I was still only 17. I decided to wait till I was 18 because I wanted to be out of high school, I wanted to officially have my license and be able to travel more with them, so... I mean, I don't necessarily know if anyone worried much about the age limit in New Jersey.
No? Go ahead, Dan.
No, that's New Jersey for you. Now, did you train with all boys?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Well,
what's that like? I mean, one girl, all boys, training to be in a male-dominated sport, mind you.
Yeah. It wasn't... I mean, it was obviously hard. It was going to be hard whether or not I trained with guys or girls. I was always a tomboy. A vast majority of my friends, past and present, are male. I get along with males much more than I do with females. So training with the guys wasn't as daunting as it could have been. It was definitely a lot harder. They treated me like one of the guys, which I absolutely loved and respected. And one girl did come in and start training for a while, Tracy Taylor, and then I started working with her, and she fought like a man. So it really was no difference when I got in the ring with her to train, because she would beat my ass.
Okay, now another thing, when I was reading some of your previous interviews that you had in print, you were saying that when you would go backstage, you're part of the roster, you would go backstage and some guys wouldn't shake your hand. They just made the assumption that you were a girlfriend and things like that. What is that like for you, being part of the roster and being a wrestler and that type of, I guess, disrespect?
You know what? I mean, I don't think it's anything that's ever really going to go away, because when I was doing the indie circuit from when I was 18 to about the time I got engaged to Damien, there was a lot of wrestlers' girlfriends that simply were put on the show to manage them or just to manage anybody because they wanted more girls. Mind you, this is also in the time of the Attitude Era where there was a diva in, like, every single portion of Raw. So, I mean, it wasn't... It's unfortunate, but it wasn't uncommon to have girlfriends on the show. So, of course, you know, me coming in, even though I had a gear bag and, you know, I'm talking with everybody that I already knew, a lot of people would just assume, oh, that's someone's girlfriend. And, I mean, it happens till this very day. One of my friends, she goes under the name Dante Gideon for ECPW, she gets the same treatment. She's been wrestling and managing a hell of a lot longer than I have, and she just came back after about maybe a five-year break, and people still look at her as if she's someone's girlfriend. And it sucks, but, I mean, I guess it, because it is male-dominated, they just automatically assume, oh, you're one of the girlfriends, or, oh, you're just a rat.
Okay, now another thing I was reading about, your early career, you started out, you said you debuted when you were 18, but you were also driving trucks around. You were later on in your career a referee. You were a manager, not a valet. Now, when you were breaking in, you paid your dues. Did you gain any acceptance?
I did with my little ECPW crew. Like, they all knew me since I started training, so they knew who I was. They knew what I was about. They knew that I wasn't there just to, you know, I guess sleep around, you could say. It was some paying my dues was something I had to do basically every single company I walked into, because this was also before the internet ran rampant and everybody knew who everybody was. So you had to prove yourself in any company you were with, whether it be setting up the ring crew, setting up the chairs, or just doing any little job they would have wanted you to do. Like one show for JCW that I didn't have a spot, one of the co-bookers handed me a ref shirt and said, hey, here you go, you could ref the show tonight. And doing those little things is what solidified my spots in future shows and, you know, showed the guys, okay, she really is here to work. So paying your dues is something I had to do every single state, every single fed, up until the day I left wrestling.
Now, and correct me if I'm wrong, because sometimes I am. Your first match was against, your first match ever was against Tracy Taylor?
Yes. Her and I had our very first match together with ECPW, and then I ended up in this big, long feud with Luxurious Lynn, and we still haven't ended that.
All right, well, my basic question is, working that hard, training straight years, setting up rings, you know, driving trucks, when you finally had that match, you walked through the curtain, what do you remember what you were thinking?
Just that I hope none of my body parts fell out of my outfit. Like, seriously, that was my one concern. I'm like, oh, God, I hope this stays in. I hope this stays in. Oh, no.
See, that's not good, because usually when I ask a question, I take a drink of water. Not a good idea. how long was it until JCW contacted you?
Well, see, a lot of the things that happen in my life, whether it be wrestling or everything with Nerd Herd is now, are all happy accidents. So I was invited to JCW by Ricky O, because I was working some other show that's now, like, gone and dead and buried in the past. And he just said, hey, come on down, see what we're about. It was their first show ever. So I'm like, all right, cool, I'll come down. So I went down just to hang out. I had a lot of friends on the card. Figured I'll see what other places were like. And I befriended Christy Kiss, and she really wanted to do a spot with me, so somehow we convinced Ricky O to let me be on the show against her and coincidentally manage the Haas brothers at the same time.
Oh, whoa.
So, yeah.
What were they like?
They were very friendly, very professional. To be honest, I said this before in interviews, I do not feel they needed me there. And the fact that they still let me work with them was just simply amazing. Because they were the freaking Haas brothers. They were huge as a tag team on the indie scene.
Yeah.
They did not need me there, you know?
So, Dean, I mean, I have another question, but if you want, I can
no,
wait
go
on
ahead,
this.
Go ahead.
When was the first time you met Damien?
First,
you know, that guy that we mentioned.
Yeah, that guy? Okay.
Who's
well, it's actually a really funny story. I remember seeing him for the first time at a USA Pro show in Queens at the Elks Lodge. I did ring crew for them. They were using Gino Caruso's ring. So me and my fellow wrestler friend, Sean Sheridan, went and did ring crew for them. So I remember first seeing Damien wrestling in the ring against Judas Young. That was my first impression on him. That was it. I didn't know his name. I didn't know who he was. I just saw him and remembered him. So fast forward a few months later, he goes to a JCW show I'm on and I'm reffing at, and he sees me and he's like, oh, hey, who's that girl? But I didn't see him there for some strange reason. Fast forward another few months, we're both booked on a USA Pro show and start talking. Nothing, like, nothing dating-wise, nothing cutesy, no flirting, just simply talking, never exchanged numbers, blah, blah, blah. Fast forward again, maybe about 6 to 8 months later, he's on a JCW show that I randomly decided to go to, and we actually started talking on a nicer level and exchanged phone numbers on our first date and got engaged 3 days later, got married a year later.
Oh.
10 years later, here we are.
I got to pick up the speed on things, man. Wow.
I certainly have to pick up the speed on things.
Oh, well,
myself.
You certainly do, okay?
Well, 16 years, you know, you know.
You know,
whatever.
You got plenty of time.
You know, you have to get everything in order, Dan. But anyway, I can remember the first time I saw Damien. My heart skipped a beat, just like yours.
So. I was going to say, I started crying.
He has an effect on people, doesn't he?
He really does.
I started crying.
Now, when you look all back at it all, what were some of your favorite moments in wrestling, whether it was as a manager, whether it was as a referee later on in WSU, or whether it was just some of your favorite angles or some of your favorite programs you were part of, or just a moment?
There are always very specific ones that stand out in my head, the main one being when for IHPW, they put us in a crew called Bloodthirsty. It was myself, Damien, our tag team partner, Jay Chronic, led by Gangrel. That was a huge moment for me because I was always a big Gangrel and Brood fan. So when they were like, oh, you guys are all going to be in a clique, I think that was definitely the highlight of my entire career. Like, that was just simply, I can't even describe that. Other little moments, you know, managing Mikey Whipwreck as part of the Black Circle was amazing because I was a huge ECW fan. That's where I had wanted to be.
Yeah.
Finally getting to work spots with Jerry Lynn, who I've known since I started wrestling. One thing that always sticks out of my head, too, like ECW-wise, is a company I used to work for called CWF. They used to use a lot of the ECW guys when ECW was just at its tail end of dying but still growing. So I used to hang out a lot with, like, Chris Candido and Tammy, and Dreamer would be around a lot. And in them seeing a lot of the spots that I would do on a show, they would blatantly say, hey, Paul would love you. You belong with ECW. He loves unique looks, and you know what you're doing. And I'm like, oh, but I'm only 18. I can't do it yet. You know? So those are all just amazing moments that just stick out in my head all the time whenever I think back about it.
Well, I mean, other than the, I guess you kind of answered this question, so we want to blow by this one. Is there anybody you wrestled with in the ring that you at one point looked up to, and how did it go?
That I would look up to? Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of the women I was in the ring with wrestling-wise, we all started out at the same time, just in different...
Right.
Like, in different companies. Like, Alicia started in IWF when I was also training at ECPW, and we crossed paths much later on for Ace Wrestling. Same with Tara Charisma. Her and I had a very brief feud for NYWC while I started training in Jersey and she was out in Queens training. So everybody I wrestled, we all started at the same time and we knew
right.
of each other. There was
right.
I never had the opportunity to wrestle against someone or even manage against someone that I would look up to while training or even while growing up. I just never, well, unless you count Missy Hyatt, but that match was just atrocious.
Well, it was Missy Hyatt.
Well, we'll get back to the Missy Hyatt match, but
no,
we
not.
Do have a caller.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And it's somebody that we all know and love.
Ugh.
Ooh.
So, John from Rhode Island, you're on the line with Foxy Foxy. How are you doing tonight, John?
How are you doing today, Dean and Foxy Foxy?
Hi, John.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
Well, first of all, Dean, you actually sold all my questions.
Yeah. We, you know what, John? This is Dan. I purposely I read your mind from the internet, and I steal your questions.
Okay, John.
Yeah.
Do you have a question for Foxy?
Yeah. Looking back through your careers when you were watching wrestling, like if you ever went into a time machine, like I want to marry and manage this person, like going back to the 90s or 80s, who would that person be, do you think?
Question.
Manage or wrestle?
Manage or wrestle. I would love to go back and manage Shawn Michaels when he first started doing the Heartbreak Kid right after Sherry left.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't need a manager at the time, but I loved his whole turn. I loved the Heartbreak Kid, like, just persona, and I would have loved to have managed him.
Nice.
If I could go back and wrestle, I would say I would go into, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, and I would love to wrestle against the good divas like Lita and Jacqueline and Ivory and Molly Holly.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Okay, John, you know you have a gimmick. I hope you realize that by now.
Yeah,
but you
on,
like
John.
To sing. So do you have a song prepared for Foxy Foxy?
I think she's actually heard all of them already.
Yes, I heard two today that he put up. He put one up about an hour ago on my page.
Oh, I was not aware of this.
So we are, good we job, are, you're
we,
fired.
We are shunned now by John from Rhode
we
Island.
We just got shunned by John.
We did. He doesn't have anything prepared.
Son of a...
So, John, I'm going to put you back on hold. I know you like to listen, but thanks for calling in tonight, John.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John. Have a good week.
Thank
and I have another caller, so let's see what's going on here.
Oh, boy.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Hello.
Just state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Costa from Long Island.
Hi, Costa. I know him.
How you doing? How you doing, girl?
I'm great. How are you?
Surviving.
Surviving.
Yeah, surviving.
Apparently surviving. Do you have a question for Foxy Foxy?
Just want to know what's her state of women's wrestling. What's her take on the state of women's wrestling in today?
Don't be politically. I mean, you know, just be truthful.
Yeah, obviously. I know. A lot of people think I'm bitter because I talk truth about wrestling now. When it's like, look, I'm just out of wrestling. I can say what I want.
It's just truth.
Yeah. The state of women's wrestling now, it all depends on where you go. Like, the state of women's wrestling in WWE right now, there is none. WWE does shit with their women. They give them two-minute matches, or the matches get interrupted by other wrestlers, other managers. And if you listen to the announcers as the women's are wrestling, they don't even pay attention. So what WWE is doing right now with women's wrestling is just crap. I don't watch TNA because I have a whole lot of other programs I watch on Thursday nights or whenever the hell they're on. But from what I hear, they're doing decently with their women's wrestling. Now, the indie scene, I think that's where all the women's wrestling's at. There is, you know, WSU is still going strong. I know that Shine is doing well. I haven't heard anything about Shimmer. I know that there's a new one called Blow, which is an odd name. But, I mean, if you want really good women's wrestling, you got to go onto the independent wrestling circuit because that's where everyone's busting their ass, and that's where you're going to get real women's wrestling, not like just the mindless drivel that you see on TV. Women's wrestling also has a lot to do with the fans. There's a lot of people that are all about women's wrestling, and that is absolutely fantastic, but there's a lot of fans that are so used to seeing what they see on WWE that they hear women's wrestling and they just they scoff at it. It's like, ugh, that crap, but they're not giving it a chance. You know, like, they see what they see on TV, and they think that's the end-all, be-all. So, I mean, if you want it good, you got to go on the independent scene.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, caller, thank you for that question, and thank you for calling in, and make sure you listen to us each and every week.
All right. No problem.
Okay.
Bye, Costa.
Bye.
All right. So that was a caller. Now, Dan, I believe you had a follow-up question to that.
I do. Do you think, and it's been attempted, obviously, in the past to have just an all-woman show, do you ever think, and I mean on the mainstream, do you ever think there's room for an all-woman show on the mainstream?
You know what? I honestly don't know, mainly because it all depends on the fans. I mean, I think there's enough fans in certain towns that will watch it because they're used to seeing the independent women's wrestling shows. But if you're going to cater it towards, say, a WWE-style crowd, I don't think it would bite because, again, they're just so used to seeing these two-minute matches that you probably don't even watch because you get up and you go, oh, this is the match where I go to the bathroom. So I honestly don't think it would be very good on the mainstream because of that. And, you know, then there's also the thinking of, oh, let's make it a new glow or glow-esque like they did with Wrestlicious, you know, where it's all hoity-toity, girly gimmicks. Half the roster can work really well and half of the roster is just a bunch of models.
Yeah.
So it all depends, but I don't think mainstream is going to be a good thing for women's wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, WOW was another one in the, was it early 2000s?
Yes.
I really tried, and as I started getting on board, I think they used Bobby Heenan for one pay-per-view. I loved it, and then they were gone.
Yeah, and then it was also D-WOW, Dangerous Women's of Wrestling.
That's
where,
it. That's the other one.
Yes, where some of it was, the other half, sometimes they brought in great girls. They used to use Alexis Lurie for a lot.
Yeah.
And they did bring in a lot of great caliber women's wrestlers, but they would make the mistake of putting them in with these girls that didn't know what they were doing, or these girls that were just typically there to oil wrestle, and the matches would end up for shit. Some matches were great. I have one on DVD of Alexis Lurie and Valentina, which is fantastic, but then the rest of the matches, oh my God.
There was an odd one, and then Dina, you take over. Well, Dean, you tell me what to do next. There was one odd one. I was at the fire station one morning. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and it was one of those poorly shot companies. I think Women's Extreme Wrestling, something like that.
WEW, yes.
It was odd.
Now, speaking of odd, you alluded to a bit earlier the Missy Hyatt match. Tell us about that.
Well, it's Missy Hyatt.
Okay. Well, this was...
Was she drunk?
Yeah.
All
right. This was from back in, I think, about 2000. I just started working for Acid Pro Wrestling. They just turned into Assault Championship Wrestling in Connecticut, run by Jason Knight. I came to the show. I was only supposed to manage. But, of course, you know, you bring everything. As a girl, you bring everything. You bring managerial gear. You bring wrestling gear because you never know what you're going to do.
Right.
So, you know, we're waiting around, and Missy Hyatt shows up. She had a match with Bobcat, and Bobcat no-showed. So, yeah, there's a name from the indie scene, right?
Wow.
So Bobcat didn't show up, and Jason was like, hey, can you do this match with Missy? We'll make it like an evening gown or dress type match, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll do it. So I go in, the obvious heel, because, you know, it's Missy. You know, everybody loves Missy Hyatt. She comes in. Joel Gertner's the ring announcer for it, which just made it tremendous. And she pulls this thing where she's like, oh, I forgot my underwear. Joel, can you go get it? You know, ha, 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 everybody laughs, blah, blah, blah. He comes back out. She's like, oh, no, that's the wrong pair. Ha, 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 everyone laughs. She goes to the back to literally get underwear because she forgot to put underwear on. I'm not kidding.
Wait, shoot.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
God, I hate this woman.
So then I'm trying to heel out the crowd because she's taking forever to get a pair of underwear. So I'm trying to heel out the crowd. But somewhere between her looking for her underwear and her me like talking trash to the crowd, they decided, hey, screw this. We like Foxy. So she comes back out. She comes back out to like a whole bunch of boos, and I'm getting the cheers no matter what I'm doing. You know, fast forward through this girly, really quick pseudo cat fight type thing we do where I strip her of her dress, but, you know, the winner is the one that loses their clothes first. Ah, she wins. Crowd's booing the crap out of her. I leave. I'm like, what the hell just happened? Because I kind of admired Missy Hyatt. You know, I didn't know what was going on with her personal life or anything with the drinking back then. So I was kind of excited to work with her, and my mind was blown with how she showed up and how the match went. And Jason's like, thank you so much. I greatly apologize. You're part of this roster forever. And for some reason after that, though, like anytime I would work a show in Connecticut, people would see me and call me the Hyatt Killer. And Dave Prazak out in Chicago heard about that match. He's like, oh, you're like to Becky Valis one day. He's like, oh, you're friends with Foxy, the Hyatt Killer Foxy. That's so cool. I'm like, what? How?
Good.
How do people know about this?
Good. She didn't need your help, really.
I mean, I don't know what she's going. I don't know what's going on with her now. And it's not like a disrespectful thing. I like her. We've worked together in WSU and everything. But back then. Oh, wow.
Well, I was thinking how to ask this question, and I'm just going to go like this. Do you still have do you still have the bug? Do you miss it? And is there ever, ever, ever a chance there's going to be a return?
Do I miss it? Absolutely. I absolutely miss it. You know, seeing Damien going to shows, it really, really bugs me because I want to go to the show. I want to do the show. And then, you know, I live and I'm married to a wrestler. So, of course, you know, we do a lot of wrestling talk and we're still friends with a lot of wrestlers. And, you know, I'll hear a song and think, oh, that'd make great entrance music. Or I'll think of an awesome spot that I want to be a part of. I would like to make a return. I just don't know when it would be possible.
Yeah, make him stay home one weekend.
Yeah. Pick a weekend. He's gone every weekend.
You know what? You're staying home, pal.
Now, of course, you're also part of the Nerd Herders podcast. Give the people what that is all about.
Okay. Well, the Nerd Herders radio show is basically a radio show in which myself and Damian Dragon talk nerdy to you. We talk about everything in geek and pop culture, ranging from movies to video games to comic books and superheroes and like, you know, TV shows such as like Game of Thrones or Big Bang Theory. We haven't touched on Doctor Who yet, but we will. So we just talk. We're like your weekly news of geekdom.
Anybody in G4 is listening. We need a replacement. Since you're giving up that mantle, we need a replacement for X-Play right here.
I would certainly agree. Now, Foxy, where can the people follow you? Where can people keep up to date with Nerd Herders and your blogs and everything else?
Oh, my God. This is going to be a long list. All right. Well, I'm on Twitter, which is at @VivaFoxyFoxy. That's one X and then two X's. I'm also on Facebook at Facebook.com/FoxyFoxy. I have two blogs, though they're updated with the same exact entries. I just figured one would be a lot easier for people to follow. So that's foxyfoxy.blogspot.com. I put new vlogs up every Sunday on YouTube, which is youtube.com/user/VivaFoxyFoxy. And I'm a contributing writer for followingthenerd.com, in which I give comic book reviews weekly. Woohoo! Nerd Herders can be listened to every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on blogtalkradio.com/dreamelite. And the archived episodes of our Friday night shows are up on followingthenerd.com Tuesday nights through their podcast as well.
So there you go. That's where people can follow. I just want to thank you for coming on. And I feel, honestly, that we only glazed the surface.
Oh, without a doubt.
So you will be getting a message, not on Twitter this time, but you'll be getting a message from me in the near future.
Ooh, awesome.
Hey, watch it, Dean. Ooh. I know her husband, pal.
So do I. So thanks for coming on, and I can't wait till next time.
Woo, me neither. This is exciting.
I'll be calling in Friday.
Cool.
Okay, so everybody, check it out, blogtalkradio.com/dreamelite, Friday nights, 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys have a fantastic rest of the show. We'll be listening on the computer.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
Oh, bye, guys.
Goodbye.
All right, so that was Foxy Foxy Dan. We'll be right back.
Hell yeah.
I got that nerd rage. Nerd rage. I got that nerd rage.
All right, got to slap Jar Jar Binks, Dan.
I've always wanted to slap Jar Jar Binks with the most authority.
That
just,
is.
Oh, you stupid!
That is for sure. Now, Dan, our next guest, who will be coming up very shortly, is the financial miracle, Loudy.
Hey, why'd you get all serious, man?
That's what I do. I can turn it on a dime.
Now, what's coming up is some flamboyant guy named Loudy.
He is a little flamboyant, but more importantly, Dan, he's the financial miracle. He was just – do you know the origin of his name?
I don't. Is it because he's really, really quiet?
Quite the opposite, Dan. There's a story behind this whole thing. He is the financial miracle, of course, because he came into a large sum of money, and now he finances his wrestlers on that. But
with bubbles.
Yeah, he does buy a large percentage of bubbles.
Way too many bubbles.
A lot of bubbles. Now, coming up on this Saturday, New Moon Rising Wrestling returns.
What?
And he will be bringing his charges. Drew Blood and Xavier Cross. I'm sorry.
Xavier Cross.
I screw that.
All right, darn.
It's the X. It's the X. It screws me up. I'm sorry. It really is. It's those X's.
Yes,
but
sir.
Then you could say, why didn't you screw up Foxy's name? Because she has like 45 X's in her name. Anyway, moving right along, because you like to narrow in on every mistake I make.
Oh, come on!
You certainly do, Dan, but...
No, I got confused. No, wait. Real quick, I literally thought I was pronouncing it wrong. That's why I was like, wait, what?
No. From now on, he will just simply be known as Cross. But Cross and Drew Blood... will be taking on the New Moon Rising Wrestling Tag Team Champions, the Untouchables.
They cheated.
Whether they did or not, I don't know the story behind Mad Mike. I guess we'll find out more on Saturday behind that. And at this point, I'm just waiting for Loudy to call. But here's the other thing. DWF, we also have Mark Angel going against Cross in a ladder match. Mark Angel put his career on the line. It's for the junior heavyweight title is what they're calling it now at DWF. So ladder match coming up on the 24th of November at DWF. My goodness. Dan, what do you think about all that? And Loudy's behind all of this.
The man has his finger on the pulse, apparently. He's got all his guns in a row, and I think he's trying to take over indie wrestling, quite frankly.
He very well could be, Dan. He is the financial miracle.
I mean, if he has enough money and has enough push and he gets enough guys, where are you going to go without being able to not see him on his stables of wrestlers, if I could get the words out? Good.
Exactly, because he was at Sideshow Pro with Cross. Yes, he was, Dan. He was with
Xavier Cross.
That's right. Sideshow Pro. And Anthony Graves tried to eat his brains.
If you don't call, I'm going to kill you.
Tried to eat his brains, Dan.
Tried to eat brains?
Tried to eat. Anthony Graves, is he a man? Is he a monster? Part of the Monster Squad with John Dahmer. They cart him out every couple of months.
I was going to say, I mean, soon he'll be showing up at, you know, ECWA shows, and he'll be taking over stuff.
Taking over! He's a financial miracle.
Who still doesn't know how to use a phone?
Apparently not.
I just spit the water all over the place.
Well, there goes your new computer, man.
Damn it!
There goes your new computer.
No, I got it to the left. It's just all over everything else.
Yes.
There goes the new studio.
A lot of practice you have in shooting things to the left or the right, not on the keyboard.
My keyboard is... Hey, wait a minute! You son of a biscuit maker.
Oh, I got you.
I usually aim for Dave's sign.
Well...
Bam!
Well, since he's not here to explain it, I'll go into the origin of Loudy.
I was going to say, do you have that interview that I worked really hard on?
Is it loaded? I don't know.
All right, we'll go to the origin then. We're going to stall for somebody who's not going to call in.
Let's see.
When I see him on Saturday, I'm going to punch him.
Hey, he confirmed, Dan. What can I do? Sometimes things happen. You know what? Talk about yourself. I'll give you a topic.
I'm taller than those guys over at New Moon.
I'll give you a topic, Dan.
The topic is... Training. I'm going to punch you in the face.
No. The topic is WWE. Did it go too far, Dan? The heart attack angle. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on when Omega Squad joins us. But I want your thoughts, and hopefully a long enough thought process goes into this. So, go ahead.
Do you want me to just talk slow? Do I think they went too far? No. Do I think they went too far? No. And here's one of my reasonings why. It would have not happened if Jerry didn't say, yeah, it's fine. That's my first point. You're not going to answer, are you? So I'm just going to go ramble on an idiot.
Just go right now.
Gotcha. First of all, it wouldn't have happened unless Jerry, I think Vince has enough relationship with Jerry where that wouldn't have gone unless Jerry said, yeah, sure. I lived through it. Who cares? Everybody, and I got a lot of ideas from people saying things on Twitter, and it's very true. Everybody has been complaining and carrying on and bitching about how you bring the Attitude Era back, bring this back, this back. There you go. There's your Attitude Era. You have Paul Heyman fake a heart attack, and you have one of the best guys on the mics in the business on the mic. What else did you want to happen? Did you want him to talk about soft, pretty things that are PG related?
I couldn't tell you.
Have John Cena main event another Raw that I turned off. I watched the whole show, and that match came on. I shut it off.
Well, joining us very soon is Omega Squad, so maybe you and Omega Squad can talk about this.
Yes, I would like to, so I don't have to do this anymore.
There he is. That's Omega Squad, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
So, Omega, do you think the WWE went too far?
I called in because I was trying to say it so you didn't have to talk by yourself.
I love you so much.
Yeah. No, I don't. You gotta look at it and say they're gonna try to make a buck off whatever they can. You know, the minute they go too far is when ratings start diving completely. And they start getting really bad.
Oh, sorry, that was me in the background.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, exactly like that.
Yeah, yeah. If they start getting like mainstream criticism and that kind of stuff, they went too far there. You know, is it in bad taste? Sure, but what isn't in WWE?
Well, wait a minute. A bad taste. They've crossed that line before. Many times. And this is what they're worried about? Didn't we have Flair have a fake heart attack on Nitro like 12 years ago?
Very good point, Dan.
That was okay. That was okay for him. No, it turned out to be... what happened was Flair has a fake heart attack, right? The next week, they pull it off as food poisoning because they got complained about. It's a story. There are writers writing a chapter to a story that has fighting in it. It's a story, and that's I don't understand why everybody's got their panties in a bunch.
You know what? Here, I have something from Loudy.
The financial miracle, Loudy. November 14th, 2012. You'll hear me on Hell in a Cell Radio.
Apparently not. Go ahead, guys.
No, I'm just saying. It's a story that is written by writers. I just got a tweet by Paul Heyman, just to set the record straight. CM Punk and I feel terrible about Shane Carwin's injury. It's as serious as a heart attack.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what?
Oh, geez.
What do you expect from ECW creator? Nothing?
I don't know. What do you? I mean, no. I thought there was something left.
No, at this point.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
I was going to just say, at this point, the ratings are so terrible, in my opinion. And granted, I'm not getting paid to be on that show, so what do I know what the hell I'm talking about? The ratings are so low to a point that it's, unfortunately, you have to turn it up. You have to turn it up to get the viewers back, or the viewers are going to keep dropping. Then that's it.
But to your point, they've gone down this well before, so it's no longer shocking. When you've gone to down to as far as Katie Vick, it really isn't that big a deal.
Thank you.
Even if it is based in real life, in which I do completely believe it was based in real life, I really truly believe that Lawler was in a hospital for
a week. Or Omega, do either of you guys believe that that was not real?
No, it was real in my opinion.
Okay. I know somebody who thinks it was a work.
Well,
no, she's an idiot.
That's our cliffhanger. Because we on the line right now, we have Loudy, and I'll get him.
You only got 5 minutes left.
Well, let's find out.
What's up, Loudy?
Not yet. Right now. After this. Loudy? If it ever decides to play. There it is. Loudy, we had some difficulty communicating a little bit earlier, but you're on the line with Dan Dean and Omega Squad. How are you?
Thank you, gentlemen. First off, I will be firing my secretary, who gave me the wrong number. My apology.
That is.
But other than that, I am good, guys. How are you guys?
We are doing great. Very briefly, I was going to go into the origin story of how you came up with the name Loudy. I wanted to save it for you. Go ahead and let the people know.
Okay, the name Loudy actually is a play on words. Let's go back to, I guess, early 2000-ish. I was a fan of CZW, Combat Zone Wrestling, and they had a message board called CZWFans.com. I and myself with a group of friends would go to shows, and I guess we'd be vocal, and we were known as the loud fans in the corner, being very boisterous and loud and whatnot. As a username on the board, I took it upon myself to be the captain of our group and be the loud fan. That got the loud fan name out there, and that is what I was known by up until the point 2007, was a part of PWU's Commissioner Idol, which was a contest that they ran to put a commissioner in charge of the company from the fans. I was the runner-up. But upon that, throughout the contest, I noticed that the name Loud Fan was more of a, what it is, a fan. A good friend close to me said that Loudy would be a lot more of a better name and more to the point. So I took that as, since I like Cloudy, and Loudy became my name. It's a, all, if you get that reference. Right.
It fits.
I recently bought a home in Colorado, just to let you know. But, yeah.
Now, the other thing, you became the financial miracle somewhere along the line. Tell us how you came into that money.
Well, the financial miracle is a name I gave myself. However, the story of the money, basically, growing up throughout the 2000s, I worked in the financial industry, several banks, and was an investor for clients that I had along the side. However, a death in my family of someone very close to me left me somewhat of a nice inheritance, I would say. I don't want to say it was over the top, but I was able to take the inheritance that I was left, and with my great knowledge of money, kind of caught a good a little roll and turned it into a couple zeros, let's just say.
A lot of zeros, I would hope, not a couple.
So just a thousand.
Yeah. I don't want to brag, but I do eat with Trump every once in a while.
I wouldn't brag about that anyway.
Do
you
eat pizza with a fork and knife?
Well, of course. He has a magnificent hair, let me tell you.
No, he doesn't.
Now, let's get this up to the present day. This Saturday, you have your charges. Drew Blood, Xavier Cross, highly entertaining wrestlers.
Yes.
They're going to battle for the New Moon Rising Wrestling Tag Team Championship. How do you feel about that opportunity?
Well, you know what? I believe hard work has finally been rewarded. Highly entertaining wrestlers are charismatic, but at the same time, we are very well skilled when it comes to the ring. And it seems that New Moon is granting us our first of many opportunities, gentlemen, because any other company that we work for, it's just a matter of a time. But this Saturday, like you gentlemen have said, in New Moon, the untouchables, I guess, become touched because we will be leaving there with the New Moon tag team titles, and they will go on my mantelpiece.
Okay, now the following week, on November 24th, at DWF, you have a ladder match. Well, not you, but... Again, Xavier Cross has a ladder match against Mark Angel. Now, Mark Angel put his career on the line. Just give us a little bit of the backstory there.
Well, all right. You know what, Dean? I didn't want to bring this up, but the truth is that Mark Angel is a much like an orphan, okay? I seen Mark Angel last year, and you know what? I turned my back on a very good friend of mine, Matt Tremont, and I turned my back on Matt Tremont a year ago and cost him his DWF career, which apparently he has back, but that's another story. And you know what? I brought Mark in under my wing. You know, myself and Xavier, we have always seen Mark Angel roaming around, sad looking. And you know, you can only have so much like time in your life, and then you finally feel the compassion that you have to reach out. So I brought Mark Angel in, and we became three of a kind. And we were the group that was going to be unstoppable. But you know what? There was always this problem. There was always this one lagging, you know, that annoying little, toenail that just won't come off. And I looked at Mark, and I said, you, my friend, you're holding us back. You know what? Mark Angel... He loves these fans. He loves them. He actually unlike myself and Xavier, he looks forward to coming to the building to meet these people, these miscreants that buy tickets and yell obscenities and make fun of my wonderful pants. He likes them. And you see, in the back of his mind, we couldn't get that out. So back in, what was that horrible town?
July, I think it was.
What was that horrible town? What was that horrible town in New Jersey that they made us go to?
Pennsauken.
Pennsauken. Oh,
nothing
ghastly.
Ever good came out of Pennsauken.
Nothing ever came out of good. You know what did? You know what came out of good? Drew Blood hopped the rail and dropped Mark on his head, and we got him far as goodbye. I no longer had to pay for his kids' tuition. I don't have to buy his kids' school clothes. And now, most of all, I don't have to lug Mark Angel around through airports and through all these high-priced events that I go to. Everyone's like, why is this guy always frowning? But the truth is, Dean, when I was out of town with Xavier, he got lucky and defeated someone. And then all of a sudden, this guy thinks he's a modern-day hero. He is G.I. Joe reincarnated, running around coming out to a Karate Kid theme song. Come on. I mean, seriously. The kid, he wants to go out there and challenge someone, put his career on the line. What do we have to lose? We have nothing to lose on the 24th. Mark Angel has everything to lose. So shine his belt up. We're going to hang it up. I'm going to point up there one last time. And I'm actually going to give the kid one more chance because I don't know if you've seen it. I've given this guy a chance to walk away. It's foolish pride that keeps him involved in this match. He has to puff his chest out and get cheap, sealish approval from all these moron fans that want to cheer him on that really, honestly, when he loses, are going to forget about him. They're not going to pay his bills. He just doesn't realize that. But
now,
he'll learn the hard way.
Now, Loudy, I do have a caller. And, I'm going to get him on here in a second. Now, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Loudy, what's up, buddy?
Oh, my God, I hear the voice of a moron. Is this Mark Angel calling up to talk to me?
Oh, dude, I'm talking to you. What's this, you felt bad for me? You felt sorry for me?
Oh, Marcus, sorrow, the sad little pigeon. Mark, you were like a wounded bird that myself and Xavier Cross felt bad for. You were our project. You know, we had bets to see if we could remodel you into society in a upper echelon person, but we couldn't. But you wasted your time calling in. You know, they want to talk to me, not you. You've never, you know, they didn't ask for Mark Angel to be on this show. They asked for Loudy. There's a reason. But if you want to call up and once again try to take more of my time, go right ahead. Let's hear your piece. I've already seen your Oscar award-winning "I'm Gonna Win It for My Son" promo that you just did. That was award-winning. Me and Cross, you know, Cross actually cried. Cross actually cried. I wiped a tear off my friend's eye. And he was like, "Ooh!" But go ahead, Mark. Talk. Talk about a ladder. Talk about climbing a ladder, Mark.
The only thing I want to say to you two better be prepared for next week. That's it.
Prepared? Mark, we are prepared. We're highly entertaining wrestlers. We're always prepared, unlike you. You see, right now, we're at a gym, Mark. We're at a gym right now working out while you're somewhere else probably pushing a shopping cart, begging the homeless for high fives because that's where you're going to be in a week.
All right, well, next week, that's all I got to say. Be prepared.
Okay.
You back me in a corner, Loudy. You back me in a corner. Just get ready.
I did back
you
in the corner, and you put your big right foot in your mouth, and next week you're going to the homeless line, sir.
That's
good
all
luck.
Fine and good. I'll see you guys next week.
I'll
That's all I got to say. I will see you next
indeed.
Week.
Indeed. Okay. So
fatality. Fatality.
He's going to see you next week. Now, another thing, highly entertaining wrestlers, Drew Blood is actually going to be wrestling Matt Tremont. Doc Diamond came out with the announcement a couple days ago. So, wow, that's going to be a hell of a match. First time ever, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a first time ever, and it will be here in Pennsauken, New Jersey. And you know what? I'm going to come right out and say it, Dean. This is not the first time me and Matt Tremont will look each other across the ring and once again say hello. Matt Tremont is another one of these miscreants that well, this one, actually, he's even bigger than Angel because, quite frankly, Tremont's got a following of clowns that follow him around, even in different countries. But you see, there's one thing that Matt Tremont, the bulldozer, he's good at swinging a lot of weapons, and he's good at hurting people. But on November 24th in Pennsauken, New Jersey, I'm going to come out right here on Hell in a Cell Radio, and in speaking for Drew Blood, which I am allowed to do, we're challenging Mr. Bulldozer Matt Tremont to a wrestling match.
Oh.
See, we want to see if the Bulldozer can wrestle. Can the Bulldozer wrestle? Because, quite frankly, I know Drew Blood can. He's notorious for it. And on November 24th, Drew Blood is going to wrestle around Matt Tremont. And then we're going to send him personally limping into his next match. I got you, boss.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. I did not expect to hear that.
Oh. What, did you think we were going to openly walk into his forum and put weapons all around the ring and foolishly let him beat us up? Come on, Dean. I'm better than that. Drew's better than that. However, let me speak for Drew on this. If it was that style match, Drew Blood can go that way. He's done it in the past. However, on November 24th, we want to wrestle the Bulldozer. So we'll see how that goes.
We'll see if the challenge is accepted. That's quite a big announcement because, like you were saying, the Bulldozer is notorious. I didn't mean to say notorious. I'm sorry. But he is known for...
Good job, Dean.
Well, he's known for that style.
That's where he's made his bread and butter, yes.
Exactly. So one last question I wanted to ask you, and this is an important topic. It's an important topic to you, is the lost art of managing in professional wrestling. Just go into that. I know it's an important topic to you, so go ahead.
Well, Dean, growing up, you know, I was blessed being – in the era of watching wrestling in the 80s, you got to see the best of the best, so to speak, of managers. You had your choice. There's those that say Bobby Heenan was the best, Jim Cornette, Jimmy Hart, Mr. Fuji, Sensational Sherry, Adler Humperdinck, the Great Wizard, Grand Wizard. The list goes on. But in this era, right now, it's lost. And it shouldn't be, because it's a very, very, very vital role in the wrestling world. And throughout my time being a manager, of which each and every second I cherish, because a lot of people don't enjoy what they do, but I enjoy what I do. I like going out there, helping my clients, bettering them, doing what we have to do to win. I enjoy that, and I'm thankful for doing it. But it's an art that I, as long as I'm here, want to keep going. And there are guys out there that are doing it. I don't want to act like I'm the only manager alive. There's many out there that are really, really well. Truth Martini is one of them in Ring of Honor. I don't want to go on a name spree, but Billy Donovan, John Harder, they're out there. And you know what? I mean, I hope more guys go to the schools. And when they go to these wrestling schools, when they go there, perhaps they look at themselves and they understand their role can be something in wrestling. Perhaps they're not physically able to be a top contender wrestler, but if they have the heart and desire and want it, they can be something as well, a referee, a manager. It's endless possibilities. So the manager role is something I hope never fades away.
You know, there is a certain young man who smells of mayonnaise. That could be one of the big big managing names to come.
Yeah, big.
Who knows? Yes, the key word is big.
I've heard that he is trying to venture in, and you know what? I wish him the best of luck. I hope that he takes it seriously. I mean, I know on a personal standpoint, the jump from the crowd to the locker room is a big move. You have a tendency to maybe go in there more excited than prepared. I hope I myself, if you looked at me 4 or 5 years ago when I started, I was more of a mark with a backstage pass, and I learned the hard way through good people in my ear teaching me how to be respectful and show respect, and you earn it, and it's a tough thing to do, but when you do get respect, it's a cherished thing, and I do wish my big jar of mayonnaise, big friend, a lot of good luck, and hope to one day see him across the ring, possibly.
I will say this, he takes it seriously, believe me.
Well,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, he does. Even at a company that he wasn't working for, I'm not going to name names, but he was putting away chairs.
Well, that's one of the biggest things. I mean, it's just showing that you care. I have a lot of people that I've been blessed that have sat me down and taken me from a foolish mind into a rather, at the time, like, you know, I would like to say that I kind of gained some respect of a lot of people, but at one time or another, overzealous, excited little boy, and needed to be taught some lessons. And hey, we all learn from our mistakes, and I've bettered myself through every mistake I've ever made. So those people out there know who they are, and if given the chance, you know, there's certain people I would like to thank, but we can do that whenever you guys want to do that.
Oh, well, we'll be back. Not this time. We're going to have you back on because we're running a little late on time. But we're going to get you back on certainly soon. Now,
when you fire that secretary, you tell him that I fully support this and don't know how to, you know, no number.
You know what? It's troublesome. She'll collect unemployment, though. She'll be okay.
Things happen.
Now, where can people find you, follow you, if somebody out there wants to follow you?
Well, I am on Facebook as under my regular name. Actually, no. If you go on the Financial Miracle Loudy, you have a fan page on Facebook, or I have at Loudywood for Twitter.
There you go. So that's where people can follow up. Loudy, it was an honor. And next time we'll get the we'll definitely get more out of you.
Thank you, gentlemen, and I will see you guys at New Moon when I walk out of there with the tag team titles, and I look forward to seeing you throughout my travels.
You guys have a
wonderful Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Too. Thank you, sir.
All right. You have a good one now.
You too. Thank you.
Okay.
That guy, I asked him one question. I mean, this is in a positive way. I asked him one question. I think we talked for like 40 minutes.
Loudy, one thing I'd like to say about Loudy is he has a great mind for this business, and I wish more people would listen to things he had to say.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
But, Dan, it's about that time.
Oh, yeah.
It's about that time for the return of the Knight Rider.
The views and the opinions expressed by the Knight Rider, Robert Knight, are not those of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or New Moon Rising Wrestling.
All right. Good evening. It has been a long time coming, Robert.
You know, it's good to be back, guys, and thank you very much for that nice little intro you had for me there. You know, it's not easy being a hero nowadays. It comes with a lot of responsibility, and it all falls on my shoulders, every word that comes out of my mouth. So now that we got that straight, let's get into business.
Yeah, I had to make this disclaimer because I found out some news, and I was like, I don't want to be held responsible for what Robert Knight may say tonight, so...
You never know. You never know what's going to come out of my mouth. I'm just glad to be talking again. I mean, after what was laid on me at PG-13 Expanded, I should be the U.S. champion. It should have been my proudest moment. And, you know, it went completely in the other direction. Thank God I'm still in one piece. But it's been a long, 3 weeks for me here.
Well, the dead end, that's what Ty Reno calls his clothesline. And I guess you would agree with that assessment.
From what I can remember, I just remember seeing it coming. I don't remember much after that. I woke up with a separated shoulder, two herniated discs in my neck the next day. I contemplated retiring for 7 or 8 years and becoming a comedian. But then I said, I'm a professional wrestler, and this is what I do. So I picked myself up, got back in my Trans Am, and I'm ready to roll once again.
2 minutes.
Dale, you are taking a little time because this show, as far as I know, you're doing night court for this show. Not necessarily involved in the action, but the more important thing is you're going to invite, as a gracious host, the American Fatneck onto the show.
That's right. I extended the invitation. From what I understand, he has accepted it. You know, I figured it's best to just sit down and talk about it. It's not going to be, you know, like you've seen with Night Court in the past where I come out, I try to have an interview with a guy who probably doesn't deserve it, and he tries to attack me, and then we have to lay him out. This is going to be completely different. I'm even thinking about having a couple chairs set up in the ring. I'm going to sit down with the Roughneck one-on-one, no bodyguards, no assassins. We're going to sit down and we're going to talk about exactly what's been going on for the past several months. And I want his explanation and his apology for what he did to me at PG-13 and costing me the United States Championship. And it was just out of bitter jealousy because Justin America and myself eliminated him, as well as Tank Tolan, as well as Mike Reed and everybody else, just like we said we were going to do.
Okay. Now, I do have – there was only one piece of fan mail. Maybe people forgot about you this week. I'm not sure, but here is the fan mail, and it goes like this. Dear Knight Rider, I was in attendance at New Moon Rising Wrestling's return event PG-13. I thought you alone were worth the price of admission, which, by the way, is only $10 for 3 hours of action at all New Moon Rising Wrestling events. I knew the Roughneck was up to no good when your microphone was sabotaged during Night Court. But you let that slide like a true professional. But what he did to you in PG-13 was appalling. After you and Justin America did everything you said you were going to do, eliminating stars like Tank Tolan and Mike Reed, Justin was cheated, and you were assaulted and almost killed by that no-good Ty Reno. And all at the hands of the American Roughneck. Please, Robert, bring him to justice this Saturday. Your friend, the photographer with no camera who Captain Dave tried to get in for free.
That's some fan letter. You know, it's okay that there was just one letter this week because that's a lot to take in. You know, and I did hear about that lady who tried to get in for free, and I believe Captain Dave did pay for her ticket eventually. Still didn't find a camera, but Captain D's got his own problems going on from what I can see this week.
She was going to sketch it.
Oh, yeah.
She was a sketch artist, yes.
Yeah, I saw a paper and a pen, but I thought it was just for my autograph.
Oh, you never know. You never know. Now, so you're going to sit down with Roughneck. You're going to try to – are you going to try to become friends with Roughneck? I don't think that's going to happen because Roughneck is kind of, you know, ignorant and dumb.
You know, I'm going to sit down. He's probably going to be laying down because it's a long walk to the ring. You know, I'm not going to try to be friends with him, but I'm going to give him a chance to apologize. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to look eye to eye, or he's going to look his eyes to my chest and my eyes over his bald head, and we're going to figure things out. He's going to apologize in one way or another. We're going to settle this Saturday.
So scores will be settled. That's a great thing. Dan, you had a comment?
No.
Oh, okay. Had more giggling. Okay. And, wait a second here. Dan, I think it's our theme. It's our breaking news theme. If it ever, the hell is it? There it goes, I think. There we go. The hell is it? Oh, yeah. All right.
We have breaking news?
We have breaking news. And let me just scan here. Oh, here we go. Good evening, fans of New Moon Rising Wrestling. Coming at you once again is the voice of the board, Donald Warren. We are on the horizon of our action-packed November 17th show titled Fallout. First, the board would like to congratulate Ty Reno of Empire for his heroic and enduring victory at our first PG-13 event.
Liar.
In the words of Arthur Fonzarelli, you ain't nobody till you do what you want. Ty Reno did what he wanted to do and became the new U.S. champion. Second, the board would like to say on the record that a vigorous investigation is underway to discover who cut power during the heavyweight championship match. When this happened, it created an unsafe working environment, and I was forced to make a controversial decision on behalf of the board of directors. A decision in which Jake Bishop, the ex-dog Jake Bishop, capitalized on and became the new Moon Rising Wrestling heavyweight champion. This is why the board has signed a rematch between both competitors. Now on to the good news. Our country's forefathers once believed that giving to those in need was better than receiving what you don't need. Nowadays, receiving gifts from strangers is generally viewed as kind of creepy and possibly a ploy for deception, which is why I have a safe room built into my luxury beachfront condo. However, the board of directors view the act of giving to the needy a service we can all selfishly perform. This is why New Moon Rising Wrestling has decided to assist local PBA 277 in collecting donations for their second annual holiday toy drive for the Ronald McDonald House Charities.
Oh, wow.
Ronald McDonald House Charities is an independent organization whose mission is to provide comfort, safety, and advocacy in a home-like environment for families with critically ill or injured children who must travel to fulfill their health care needs. At our December 15th show, December to Remember, every child who brings an unwrapped toy still in its box will receive an entry into the event for half off. For the dummies out there, that's $5. At intermission, we will present the donations to a representative of local PBA 277. We hope to see you this Saturday when X-Dog and Ty Reno each make their first title defenses. Sent from my iPhone in my condo, Donald Warren. A lot of information there.
You know, I wonder how long and how many people it took to help Donnie write that. You know, Donald Warren is the guy who started off our show, taking the title from me. You know, it's unbelievable. And where in that letter was, we apologize to the Knight Rider for what happened at PG-13 Expanded? Unbelievable. That's real sweet of you, Donnie.
I don't see it. Donald Warren, now the controversial decision that he was speaking of was during the no disqualification title match. The lights go out. He changes it from no disqualification to a normal match, and I've never seen that done in the history of wrestling.
I that was a terrible decision to make.
But Knight Rider, bring it all home. What are you going to do to the fat neck? Because personally, I am waiting to see what happens there.
I'm going to sit down with him. Like I said, I'm going to give him a chance to apologize to me in front of everybody. And maybe he can raise my hand and we'll have the victory celebration that I should have had. Because I'm still the 2.5-hour Battle Royal winner. I mean, Ty Reno's got the U.S. title, but that Battle Royal was maybe 40, 45 minutes. It wasn't 2.5 hours. So I still hold that title, and that's never going to be taken from me. That's coming up this Saturday at the Proving Grounds. And again, going by what Donald Warren said there, our show, December to Remember, the only wrestling show in town, December 15th at 7 p.m. People can come out, enjoy the best 3 hours of independent pro wrestling on the scene, and they can donate to a very good cause around the holidays. And speaking of the holidays, with the holiday season upon us, remember, you can get your Robert Knight signed 8x10s. And I'm feeling generous with Thanksgiving right around the corner that this Saturday I'm going to run a very special deal that those pictures are only $5 or 2 for 10 this Saturday.
Ooh. 2 for $10. That is one heck of a deal, Robert. You are in that very giving mood as the holidays
That's only $20 for a show. That's all you need to spend.
Exactly. You get your 8x10. You get two tickets. Whatever. I'm not sure. I'm so excited because
it's ticket for $10, a picture for yourself, and one for Aunt Connie. 2 for $10. That's $20 well spent. It's cheaper than a movie.
I know how to count. He can't.
I'm so excited. I just am. Now,
I honestly am. I am really excited about this. It's, a month is too long.
It really is. Now, 10:30, Delsey Drive, Building 4W, Deptford, New Jersey. You can look it up by Westville. That might get you there easier. But it's going to be exciting, and you have the opportunity for a meet and greet with Captain Dave before the show.
Yeah, I heard he's going to CVS to pick up a new sign. And we'll not sure if this one's going to survive the event this time, but you never know.
RIP signing. But, Robert, I'm going to put you on hold. Thank you for joining us. It's great to have you back in the house or in the cell, wherever the hell we are.
I have one question.
Sure, go ahead.
Is the footage of how he got cheated ever going to be exposed?
You're going to have to talk
to one day, Dan.
Donald Warren about that. You know, I understand the footage does exist because I know the Dean of Credibility was sitting ringside with some other guy doing commentary, so there is footage of it. I don't know what they're waiting for. I think it's because they want to celebrate Tyrino's victory without the fans seeing the way he actually won the title.
No, I know footage exists because I know the guy who filmed it.
Yeah, there you go. You know him quite well. Now, Robert, I'm going to put you on hold. I want you to hear a very special audio edition of the Scoop Slam that Brady Hicks and I did. So here we go.
Sounds good.
Hey, guys. Brady Hicks here. Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer, the host of In the Room on WEXP Philly. And the voice of New Moon Rising Wrestling.
The voice of New Moon Rising Wrestling. That's right. It's none other than the Dean of Credibility from Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. Wednesday nights, 9:30 on Blog Talk Radio. That's right. Double D is the voice of New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Well, we're here to talk today, Dean, about November 17th, New Moon Rising Wrestling's Fallout. Their next show. Their second show since the relaunch. I'm excited. I don't know about you.
It's 10:30 Delsey Drive in Deptford, New Jersey, Building 4W. And I can't wait for it. It's going to be an exciting show. The first match that we're going to talk about right now, Hicks, we're going to talk about a rematch from the last show. The one who showed everybody that he can put his money where his mouth is, none other than the champion, Jake Bishop, from the Meat Society, taking on Luis the Punisher Martinez.
When you're talking about Jake Bishop, you have to admit, as much as I was against the idea, Jake kind of silenced the critics in a way when he took the title at PG-13.
Too bad he didn't silence Don Warren, who stuck his nose in where it didn't belong, Hicks.
Well, we've got other great matches on the show, and I hate you match. Tank Toland taking on Justin America.
That's right. It's a real American Justin America taking on the biggest dummy on the show, Tank Toland.
Now, why would you say that?
Why would I say it? Have you seen the guy? Have you seen him try to formulate a sentence, let alone a paragraph?
Well, you know what, Dean? You can say whatever you like. You know, the worst that's going to happen to you probably is you're going to get a little water spit on you or whatever. I wouldn't want to be Justin America in an I Hate You match. I wouldn't want to be because he has said and done so many things to Tank Toland. I just don't think it's going to end well for him.
Look, you might as well call this a boot camp match. A real American put in the boots to a big dummy. And I can't wait to see it at Fallout.
Well, when we're talking about real Americans, let's talk the United States title, Dean. Tyrino won PG-13 just last month. He's going to be defending his newly won U.S. title against the Me Society's LJ Cruz.
That's right. It's the Me Society. They're coming together. They're going to show their dominance. They already have the tag team titles, Brady. They have the world heavyweight title. Now they're going to have the United States title after LJ Cruz proves who the bigger man is. And I have to say, I am honored to have hashtag Mr. VIP on this week on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
And as you guys heard earlier tonight, Tyrino right here in the room. So I want to know right now, are you in the Me Society?
I'm not in the Me Society. I am, however, an honorary member.
Well, what's honorary? What do you mean by that?
Well, moving right along, we have a tag team title match. We have another member of the Me Society, the Untouchables, taking on DWF's Drew Blood and Xavier Cross with the Financial Miracle Loudy.
It's kind of like an interpromotional dream match in a way, you know? The best of the DWF tag teams versus the best of New Moon Rising Wrestling's tag teams.
Well, I'll tell you what. Both of those guys, Drew Blood and Xavier Cross, he said a dream match. I'll be sleeping during this.
Xavier? Is that how you feel about him?
That's how I feel about it.
Okay. Up next, Crazy Ivan. You know, he's going to be fighting in a Let Me Out match. Let Me Out!
Never mind, Hicks. Crazy Ivan, he's crazy. He's unpredictable.
What else can you say?
He's unorthodox.
You say that every month about
him. I do, because it's true, and he's going to tear Mark Angel apart.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think he's going to tear Mark Angel apart. I think Mark Angel has a very good chance of winning this match. And as far as he's concerned, I wouldn't call it a Let Me Out match. I'd call it maybe like a Let Me...
Let my people go, Hicks.
What did I say earlier?
Let my people go. Let them listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio instead of In the Room. Now, the whole thing about Mark Angel that I don't get about him, he's always talking about the fans. The fans don't cheer for him. He wants them. They're not cheering. They are cheering. He's got to stop thinking about the fans and just get in there and take care of business, Hicks.
Well, I do think he's going to take care of business. And as far as Mark Angel goes, that this win is just the beginning of a whole lot of momentum for him.
A whole lot of momentum. When you talk about momentum, there's nobody better than the Knight Rider, not Robert Knight. Came in at number one, was in there till the very end. He won the match twice, Hicks. You can't deny it. Threw Tyrino out twice in that match. He is the uncrowned United States champion. And not only that, he's a gracious host. He's the American Fatneck will be his guest on Night Court.
Well, you know what? You can't argue with the success that Robert Knight had at PG-13, even though you personally didn't think he stood a chance of winning.
I never said that. You're putting words in my mouth.
You went on record. If you listen to that match, you know the pick that you made, Dean.
The pick I made was the man who came in at number one. That's besides the point. He won that match twice. He is the uncrowned United States champion. But as far as that fat neck, have you ever seen a T-Rex try to pleasure himself? That's why the roughneck is so frustrating.
Will you stop it? You know what? You got me flustered. Robert Knight, he better watch what he say. He better watch what he does. Because American Roughneck, I wouldn't want to be in the ring with him. After all that Robert Knight's done.
Well, here's a guy I wouldn't want to be in the ring with unless he has a very thorough search from the referee. And that is Blackie. King Blackie, taking on HPR.
You're going to let him in the Proving Grounds this month.
Look, I had my fun last month with King Blackie. He bit off a little more than he could chew, and I kept him out of the building. But I got a bigger surprise, something that will rock the foundation of the Empire to its very core, and that's Mac Daddy Ron Starr. And he knows exactly what I'm talking about, Hicks.
It'll be interesting to see what you have in store, but I couldn't take you too seriously. I really couldn't.
But anyway, what about this Hollister punk rocker? What do you got to say about him? He comes out here a return or something? Three people popped.
Will you stop it? What do you mean popped?
I'm not familiar
with that term. Did Captain Dave teach you that?
Captain Dave did, in fact, teach me that.
Okay. Here's what you need to know about the Hollister punk rocker. He made his return last month at New Moon Rising Wrestling's PG-13. And this month, he's making his singles debut. Two of the most popular guys in New Moon Rising Wrestling, Blackie, the Hollister punk rocker. You know what, Dean? You might be a little bored during this match because you need guys that sneak around and sleaze around and kind of slump around. That's more your thing. But these guys, it's going to be high-flying action. It's going to be nonstop action. And I can't wait. This might be the match of the night.
It could be a breakaway match, Hicks. The thing is, I'm not too interested to see two guys that shake hands and try to glad stand with the fans. I like to see guys that get in there and tear each other apart.
You like guys that sneak around and try and get out of matches. That's what you like.
Hicks, I've had enough of this. I'm getting out of here. I'll see you on the 17th.
Well, it'll be interesting for sure. New Moon Rising Wrestling's Fallout, November 17th. The Proving Grounds, 1030 Delcy Drive, Building 4W in Deptford, New Jersey. All those matches we just listed, plus the former hotshot Mike Reed in action, and so much more. NMRWrestling.com.
All right. So, Robert, what do you think about that? Brady Hicks and I running down the card there.
You know, it was a great job on your part, Dean. I don't know about that Brady Hicks guy, though. He's claiming that you're looking for guys that sleaze and slump around, whatever that would. Guys that sleaze and slump around need to check out Dimple Date later on in the week, I think. The only thing that I didn't hear mentioned there was the one and only, the Paperboy, Steve the Paperboy, will be wrestling a 650-pound tire also this week. So if you're into monster trucks and getting your newspaper delivered, you don't want to miss that one as well.
Now, doors will open at 6. Bell time is 7. 10:30 Delcy Drive. Robert, you'll be there. Night court. Big plans later on in the show, hopefully for you. I'll tell you what. I'm looking forward to it, and thanks for joining us. The return has been completed.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'll see you guys this Saturday night where you and everybody else will remember that one man can make a difference.
Yeah.
All right, so that was Robert Knight. Dan, we got a big show, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. Omega Squad, another big show this weekend, if you're there.
It is a big show.
It is. It is a big show now. We have for the UFC welterweight title, Omega.
The undisputed welterweight title.
Oh, come on. That interim title means absolutely nothing. We have Georges St. Pierre. A man who is not easily impressed, I'd say. Taking on who, Omega?
He's taking on the natural-born killer, Carlos Condit.
Now, George St. Pierre, 22-2. Going up against 28-5. St. Pierre, of course, has a 9-win streak. He hasn't lost since 2007, and that was, of course, against Matt Serra. And his last win was over Jake Shields. Of course, he was injured during training after that. He's been out for a while. An interim title was created between Conduit and Diaz. And, of course, Carlos won. And he hasn't defended it since. Waiting for St. Pierre. And that brings us up. Now, he has a 5-win streak. And he hasn't fought since February. So, how do you see this one going down? Do you see it as another St. Pierre domination for 5 rounds, or how do you see it, Omega?
Well, that's the big question, is after 19 months out, is this the same Georges St. Pierre that we saw for the last 9 fights that, you know, basically has dominated every opponent thus far with his wrestling and his explosiveness? He had a pretty serious knee injury, and you know, is it going to hamper him? Has he lost a step? Is there cage rust that he has to deal with? That's a good question. You look at, on the other side, you look at Carlos Condit, who's a guy who can do a lot of things well. He's a great striker. He's pretty resilient, pretty durable fighter. You know, it's going to be a very interesting matchup. If my tendency is to think that even a diminished Georges St. Pierre is better than a ready Carlos Condit. But you know, how much, I don't know. I think this is going to go like most Georges St. Pierre fights, with GSP shooting for the takedown, dragging Condit to the ground, and then, ground and pound, from there probably going to go to a decision, which, you know, St. Pierre's always been criticized in the past for not being able to finish, but I think this goes to decision. Unless Carlos can come up with something, come out and avoid the takedown and try to strike with GSP, he might have a chance. But it's a lot closer fight. I think it's a lot closer fight than you think about when you think about GSP as the greatest fighters he's been over the last several years.
All right. So you're thinking it's decision, St. Pierre in 5.
Yes. I think so.
I have to agree. I don't think much has changed. I think he took plenty of time off to get over that injury. And I think Condit, it was kind of silly for UFC 154 to take all that time off since February just to wait for the fight with St. Pierre. It seems kind of cowardly, frankly, to me.
Well, I mean, you know, one man's cowardly is another man's smart fighting. I disagree with it. I think if you're a fighter, I think you should be fighting on a regular basis. I think if you're an interim champ, you should be fighting on an interim, on a regular basis. I think if you're any kind of champ, you should be fighting on a regular basis. You know, what's the – I'm not a fighter. I'm not in the fighting business, so I don't know what goes through these guys' heads. You know, there's probably a lot of business reasons why you don't take a fight. I don't know what they are, but I wish they were. I wish that we had seen another fight from Condit. I think Condit would be better prepared if he'd taken another fight, but that's just me. I'm not in this camp.
I agree. So next up in the co-main event is Martin Kampman. He's 20-5, taking on Johnny Hendricks. Now, Kampman has a 3-win streak. Hendricks has a 4-win streak. His last two were big wins against Josh Koscheck and John Fitch, and the Fitch fight was a 12-second KO. So how do you see – and this could be a welterweight title eliminator.
Yeah, you know, the big question about this is less about who wins and who the bigger question is what happens after the fight. But you know, getting to the fight, these are both guys that have shown very good skills in the past, and they've been able to, you know, pull out these knockout victories. Johnny Hendricks, you know, took out Jake Ellenberger. And as you mentioned, Kampman took out Fitch in 12 seconds. So these are all – I think I got that backwards.
You did.
I did get that backwards, didn't I? Anyway, so, you know, reverse that, and you still get the same result, that you have two skilled fighters in the ring. You know, I Hendricks is kind of a – He's a good fighter. He's certainly got great power. I like Kampman in this, though. I think Kampman has a more well-rounded skill set, more resilient ability to recover from hits. I think he will find a way to take out Hendricks. It may go all the way to the decision, but you know, these two guys, I wouldn't be surprised if it isn't a finish. I'm gonna pick Kampman and TKO in a second in this fight.
Wow. Okay, I'm not sure. I like Kampman a lot, so I'm going with Kampman. Hopefully he'll finally get that elusive title shot out of this. And one last thing, I know I'll let you break it. UFC finally signs a female fighter. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah, I haven't seen if it's been officially confirmed yet, but according to reports, the Strikeforce bantamweight champion Ronda Rousey will be the first female fighter to be signed by UFC after the January Strikeforce event, which will be the final event before Strikeforce is folded, and it's eventually rolled. Most of the fighters are rolled into the UFC. So you know, the last two events Strikeforce has had have been canceled. The writing was on the wall. This is the end of Strikeforce. So we should see, obviously Rousey will be coming over. You should see fighters like Gilbert Melendez, everybody who follows the lightweight division has been wanting Melendez to come over to the UFC. All the other fighters, Daniel Cormier, presumably Nate Marquardt will be coming back to the UFC. And a bunch of other people, I'm sure they'll pick up, including a good chunk of the women's fighters as well.
Okay, so yeah, go ahead, Dan.
All right, I have a question, and again, this is coming from a guy who doesn't watch barely any UFC, any MMA. We talk about Strikeforce getting folded, and there was WEC, there was the cage fighting stuff. Will MMA survive with just UFC being on top, or is competition needed like when wrestling had WWE, WCW, excuse me?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you need competition because this is unlike pro wrestling, this it's a legit sport.
Right.
The stories are made at the time the fight is made, not necessarily in a writer's room.
Right.
But you know, that being said, you know, there should be room for competition.
Right.
And there certainly are organizations out there that will feed the UFC. We have the Bellators of the world. We had an event from World Series of Fighting a couple weeks ago. Get bigger. I don't know. And then also like the Invicta Fighting Championships that I talked about, the Women's League. There's room for it, but is it? And there certainly should be competition, at least in that sense. But I don't know that having UFC being the biggest organization is a detriment. Obviously, we have Major League Baseball, we have NFL, we have NBA, all these major legit sports leagues that kind of consolidate into one large entity, and it works fine. So I think it's going to be fine.
All right. So Omega, just hang out for a little bit. We're going to get to LJ Cruz making his New Moon Rising Wrestling return coming up on Saturday, and he has a title shot against Tyrino, but we'll get to him right after this.
So fly, LJ Cruz. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. Girl, look at that body. I work out when I walk in the spot. This is what I see. Everybody stops and staring at me. I got passion in my pants and I ain't afraid to show it. Show it.
All right, welcome to the show. It is hashtag. Yes, you're on the air, sir.
Hello, guys, ladies and gentlemen. It's your favorite superstar of mine, the one and only hashtag Mr. VIP. So fly, LJ Cruz. How's it going, guys?
Oh, it is going great, sir. And let me tell you, this is an honor. It's been quite some time. You were on, actually, the pilot episode. And
yep.
We finally got you back. You've been very busy. You've been out there clubbing. I heard this story, that you single-handedly held the Atlantic City Boardwalk together during Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, you stole my line.
Held it together.
Yep, Hurricane Sandy was a little stronger than I expected. I was holding it together, but I could only get about the casino side. The part that got ripped down was the more the inlet side, which was kind of beat up anyway. But I made sure the main area where the strip is and all the casinos and clubs are, that boardwalk's all good. So we're still good to go.
If you could next time just let the hurricane destroy Trump and leave everything else standing, I'd be fine.
No problem.
Well, there you go. Yeah, just destroy Trump. But I was going to say, Dan, he's kind of like the rock monster from the Neverending Story. He's like, deep pans. My little friends. Anyway.
I got it.
An obscure Neverending Story reference. You never know what you're going to get on Hell to Sell Talk
Video. Where's the theme song?
But anyway, now, LJ, you're back in business. You're going to – last time I saw you was actually in a DWF ring. It was a three-weight match. It was you, Mark Cruz, and why does it always escape me? Who was the third person? King Blackie. That's why it escaped
me. Angel.
Yeah, Mark Angel. So that was the last time we saw you. First of all, your thoughts on that match, that three-way match that you had at DWF.
That was an interesting match. That was actually the last match I've actually wrestled. It was a great match, one with the competitors involved, Mark Angel. I know he's got a cruiserweight. He's the current cruiserweight champion at DWF. I was a former, never actually lost the title, but that's a whole other story. Anyway, he's the current champ, and he's been a very strong champion for the company since then. Blackie is one of the longest reigning champions the company's ever had. Both of them are just amazing competitors. It was a fun match. It was a good match to go out on. Since then, the reason I've been taking some personal time, and this is my first match coming back, is actually I'm holding that reason in my arm. So if you hear a little baby cooing, that's my son, little baby VIP.
Hashtag baby VIP.
Hashtag baby VIP. I tried to put him down, but he started whining. But he just wants to lay on daddy right now, so he's keeping calm. But, yeah, my wife gave birth this past October, healthy baby boy. She's fine. The baby's fine. So, you know, I just wanted to take some personal time away from the ring. And now I'm back. I'm ready to go. And I'm ready for Tyreno. And as a VIP, I always get VIP treatment. Tyreno had to go through 12 other competitors and win the PGA 13 match. Quite an accomplishment. I mean, how many men can say they defeated 12 men, right? You know?
Yeah.
But definitely on credit where it's due. But the problem is he hasn't defeated me. So lucky me, getting my VIP treatment, I get the United States title shot. That's just how I do it. You know what I mean?
I mean, I can't wait for it. I mean, finally, after you win this match, the match is over in my mind at least, but after you win this match and you take that United States title into the locker room, it's going to be you as United States champion, Jake Bishop as the heavyweight champion, and the Untouchables as the tag team champions. You're going to completely dominate New Moon Rising Wrestling, and I can't wait for it. What are you going to do once you have that domination down?
I mean, there's nothing else to do but party and celebrate at that point. I mean, once I win the United States title, I mean, it'll be total domination in New Moon Rising. And some people may think, oh, the pressure's on. Can you handle the pressure? Of course I can. I'm the hashtag Mr. VIP. I handle pressure all the time. That's why I am who I am. So, you know, Tyreno, he's a strong guy, though. He's not just someone, you know, you just kind of look at and just say, oh, just a cake, and, you know, an easy day, a little cake day or anything like that. Hold on one second here.
Your time. That's baby VIP, people.
Baby. Hashtag baby VIP. I will get it trending if it kills me.
Hashtag baby VIP. In his swing. In his VIP swing. Okay, he looks like he gets sleep now. Okay, good.
That's great.
Daddy gets the VIP time now.
Somebody drive by his house and make loud noise real quick.
That's not funny, man. Dan. Come on.
I'll have to go kick someone in the face if that happens.
Yeah, I would understand.
Now, so we were talking about the domination that you, the Mies Society would have at that point.
Absolutely. You know, the Mies Society, we've been around for quite some time. I've basically been with them as long as I've been with New Moon Rising, about almost a year now. And it was almost a perfect fit. The Mies Society, it's all about me. Of course, I'm all about me. Everything is about me. VIP, I get what I want, I take what I want, I do what I want, I am what I am. That's just how it is. But this, you know, coming into this match, I'm really looking forward to it because Tyreno, not many people know, Tyreno and I actually came into the business around the same time. We actually went to the same school with the CZW Academy. I think I was in a little bit longer than he was, but, I mean, we've been through the same training, same ass-kicking that we've been to get into this business. So I know how tough he is. I know how strong he is. I mean, he's been the champion almost every company he's wrestled for. And, of course, he's the New Moon Rising United States champion by defeating 12 guys. That's quite an accomplishment. So I'm looking forward, one, as a fellow alumni, to another. So I'm looking forward to wrestling him. And, B, I'm looking forward to ending this title reign because I have to win this match. I mean, this match is very important to me. It's my first match back. One, I have to prove it to myself that I still have it, which, of course, I know I do. That's a given. But two, I have to win it for the Mies Society because I need to complete our dominance, and that's what I'm going to do. That's what I plan on doing.
Oh, well, I lost my train of thought.
You really can't – you really don't have anything else to say. You just put it there. Hashtag epic.
Hashtag Mr. U.S. Champ. That'll be trending soon as well.
Yeah, we're trying to get baby VIP. We're working on it.
At this point, you win the U.S. title. Do you? I know Mies Society is, you know, is all in one and fighting for the same cause. But do you go for the world title?
That's a very good question, and I'm glad you brought that up. The LJ Cruz defines what a champion should look like. LJ Cruz acts like a champion should. He wrestles like a champion should. And definitely, LJ Cruz looks like a champion should. So first, I plan on gaining the United States Championship, because that's, well, ultimately that's what's left on the table right now, so I might as well get that. After that, I have no problem going against Jake Bishop for the World Heavyweight Championship. I mean, we are the Me Society. Ultimately, it will stay in me, you know, and if me, as LJ Me, happens to be the champion at that point over Jake Me, well, that's okay. At least it'll still be in me. We're a team, supposedly, so that's what I like to hear. Jake, I mean, he's a great champion. He just beat Lewis the Punisher last month. And, you know, he's a multiple-time champion. And if it comes to that, I'm sure it'll be awesome. But as of now, I think I just want to focus on Ty. You know, one goal at a time. Make sure I take care of Ty Reno. Make sure business is taken care of. And make sure I beat the man who beat 12 guys. Because, hey, I'm Mr. VIP. I'm sorry.
One thing I wanted to bring up, you kind of have this brotherhood that was instilled in you from the CZW Academy with Ty. Now, are you going to have an honorable match? Not that you don't wrestle an honorable match, but are you going to keep the Me Society?
Save.
Well, exactly. But not that you're going to, are you going to keep the Me Society out? And is he going to keep Empire out? Are we going to see one-on-one, one friend against another, or is that all going to go out the window? How are you going to handle this match?
Well, I didn't necessarily say Ty and I are friends. We definitely have a mutual respect for each other, though.
So no.
No, I didn't say no. At this point, me and the Empire, we just don't get along and we butt heads. I mean, that's a given. Blackie and I have fought many times. I've fought with Ty. I fought with Ron Starr. I mean, we just butt heads. It's just a given. So will it be a one-on-one match? Well, as of this point, it is advertised as a one-on-one match with no interference, nothing involved. Will it happen? Well, those who come Saturday will find out exactly what happens. And those who come Saturday will get to see a new United States champion.
Will we get to see Baby VIP? Hashtag Baby VIP.
Hashtag Baby VIP will be home with the hashtag Mrs. VIP.
Very good.
So he won't be at this show.
Okay, maybe one day you'll make that
I see some outside interference.
Well, no, I was just going to say maybe one day we'll see that Ricky Steamboat entrance from days of old when he would bring Little Dragon to the ring.
Only if LJ carries a Komodo Dragon in.
At the same time. It's very odd.
I'll have to carry a lot of hundreds if I'm carrying my baby as well. That's
yeah.
So, LJ, I'm personally excited for this match. I think it's going to be one. I think this could really steal the show. There's a lot of other matches, Justin America, Tank Tolan. You got the tag team title match. You got Crazy Ivan against Mark Angel. You have all these matches. But I think your match can really the spotlight's going to be shining brightly on you guys. So go out there and just give it hell, man.
Let me put it this way. It's been about 4 months since my last match. I have a lot of built-up aggression to release in the ring. I have a passion and a fire now, especially after the birth of my second child. LJ Cruz is a different person now. LJ Cruz is coming. I've got a fire. I've got this aggression. I'm there not only to steal the show, but to prove that I am the best that New Moon Rising has to offer. I am there to prove that I am a champion, not only by definition and look, but by title come this Saturday. And this title will happen to be the United States title. And Ty Reno, I'm sorry, as strong as a competitor you are, as great of a champion you are, and just about every company you are, Saturday will not be your day, my friend. This is LJ Cruz's time. LJ Cruz, this is LJ Cruz's company. Yes, the Me Society, and I'm all about that. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. Mark my words. New Moon Rising is LJ Cruz's company. This company will move forward because LJ Cruz is here, and I am here to make a statement and prove and grow this company. LJ Cruz's time is now. I am the man, period.
Wow. So there it is. You laid it out on the table. Where can the people follow you? Because you're going to be United States champion. I'm sure many people will want to follow you on Twitter and Facebook. So where can they follow you?
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at LJ Cruz Pro. You can also do a search for hashtag Mr. VIP. You'll find all my tweets. You can do a search for hashtag Mr. UFC Champ. You'll find a lot of my recent tweets. Sorry, Ty, I'm a little optimistic. That's just how I am. You can also search for hashtag proud daddies, and sometimes I tweet about my kids. You know, I'm just a proud daddy. Can't help it. But at LJ Cruz Pro on Twitter, and you can also find me on Facebook, facebook.com/LJ Cruz Pro.
All right. That sounds great. LJ, thanks for taking time out from your busy clubbing schedule and baby schedule to join us here tonight.
Absolutely, guys. It's always a pleasure. Can't wait for the next time.
Okay, and it will be very soon if we can get a hold of you.
Yeah, exactly. I always make time for you guys. I always make time for the good people. Don't worry.
All right. So, everyone, that was LJ Cruz. And, again, have a good night, sir.
All right. Thanks. You guys, too. Take care.
All right. So, that, like I said, Dan, I think that match is definitely going to be the sleeper match, Dan. That's going to be the one that people will be going away talking about.
You're such an... You know, I don't think there is a bad match on this card, really. I mean, I was honestly very concerned on how the last show was going to go, and it went off without a hitch except for, you know, some power outages and some microphone malfunctions. And it's only going to get better.
I certainly do agree, Dan, and...
$10.
And where is it, Dan?
It's at, I forget the...
1030 Delcy Drive.
That's it, 1030 Delcy Drive, Building 4W. It's off exit 25A on 295. It's 30 feet off that exit, right there.
If you're going south 295, get off at exit 25. Don't continue further south on 295. 25A. 25A.
Get down there. Look for the fools in the wrestling masks out front holding signs asking you to honk.
With a miniature sombrero.
Yes. Yes, it didn't even fit my head.
Oh, my goodness.
On top of my head, shoulders.
Now, Dan, running down the card, we, of course, had the Scoop Slam a little bit earlier on, but I want your thoughts. Now, we have a rematch from the last show, which was PG-13, of course. Jake Bishop, the newly crowned champion, taking on Luis the Punisher Martinez. How do you see this one going down?
Well, all I have to say is nobody in that building is safe.
Certainly not.
No, and that match, sir, anybody holding signs with a laptop, not safe.
Commentators, not safe, Dan.
Commentators, not safe. People trying to go to the bathroom, not safe. Cameramen aren't safe. Nobody is safe. It was the first time I had the pleasure to see either men wrestle. I've heard a lot about Jake. I heard a lot about the Punisher, Martinez. And you are going... I can only imagine what is going to happen in this match, considering what happened last time. They threw everything in there except for the kitchen sink. And tell what's-his-face on the board, don't change this match this time.
Donald Warren, of course.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Tell them to update the website. That's what I'd like to see. Now,
yeah,
moving right along.
Put it on HTML and, you know.
We have an I Hate You match, Dan. The hatred is boiling over. It's none other than a true American, Justin America, taking on, I like to call him the biggest dummy, Tank Tolan.
So, is this just, what are the stipulations on this match?
Absolutely no stipulation.
Okay, gotcha.
But the hatred is boiling over.
It's a grudge match.
You could say that.
It needs to come to a head before somebody seriously gets hurt, like, honestly. And if this is the way they got to do it, this is the way they got to do it. If they take it any further, somebody will get hurt.
Speaking of someone getting hurt, Xavier Cross, of course, Tank Tolan over his head, threw him from the heaven down to the concrete below. We saw that happen during PG-13. I don't even know what to say, Dan.
No, and another, is there a women's match this month?
No women. However, Sienna will be in the house with her with her men.
Oh, gee, you're going to let her men?
I spoke to Donald Warren, actually, and this is the first time I'm actually going to bring this up. I spoke with Donald Warren. He's a close personal friend of mine, as everyone knows. He might deny it on Facebook if you ask him, but basically...
Can't imagine why.
Basically, what was said and what was discussed was that... I can't remember right now, but the hell with it, Dan. What's the next match? The Untouchables, Dan!
Jesus Christ. The Untouchables versus Omega Squad. No, the Untouchables.
Wait, what?
Yeah, oh, you didn't know? I signed you up for a match. Hope you didn't mind.
Oh, jeez. I better get training then.
I would call Papadon.
Ugh, I don't know if I want to do that.
So they're taking on highly entertaining wrestlers, Dan. Drew Blood and Mark Angel. How do you see that?
Drew Blood, Mark Angel on that one.
So you're saying new tag team champions will be crowned at Fall Out.
Somebody doesn't throw anything into the ring this time and cheat. Not that I saw that happen last time.
You know what, Donald Warren? He sees lights go out. He sees all these things, but he does not see. He doesn't see water in the face.
I have a feeling we've not heard the last of Fusion DS in this situation. Knowing what Damien is capable of, there's some trouble to be had.
Baseball bats? You never know, Dan.
Baseball bats and uncontrollable anchors.
He surprised the hell out of everybody at an ECWA show that we were at.
Literally surprised everybody.
The fans, the referees, people had no idea what was going on. He went into the back, Dan, and selected the first thing he saw.
Thank God it wasn't like a baby.
It didn't matter, Dan. He was going to pick anything. I remember what Donald Warren and I talked about. It was, he said, hey, go easy. Go easy on the Empire. Because, exactly.
Talking to him is memorable.
Exactly, Dan. Now, the thing, I showed Donald Warren, I let him see the evidence I have against Empire's leader, Mac Daddy Ron Starr. You already know what this is all about. Yeah. You were here. So I let Donald Warren in on our secret.
Oh, you told him?
Don Warren knows. So,
you're dirty.
I've changed things around.
Do you want people? Do you want four big dudes to beat the crap out of you, and then one woman to laugh at you?
She probably would. She pulls chest hair, Dan.
Yeah, I've seen that close up.
Toughest woman in the business, Sienna Duvall. Hardest working too.
You know what? And I do want to. Can we mention what happened?
Oh yeah, the match is out there.
You say the toughest. Which was filmed brilliantly and commentated brilliantly, newmoonrising.com. Omega Squad, have you seen the match we're talking about?
I have not seen the match. No.
You are a terrible partner.
I am.
I will link you because a stand-up guy filmed it and one okay guy announced it. The other guy, I'm not so sure. You take your pick. flip a coin. What were they going for, a sunset flip?
I think it was a miscommunication.
Miscommunication? Let me have another drink. There's a miscommunication in the ring with Cherry Lane, and not to be confused with another douchebag Lane, and Sienna, where Sienna got dropped on her head. I mean...
Scary moment.
And you see in the shot... Everybody kind of went, okay. And you say toughest women in the business, and I know she's not the first woman to get hurt in the business. My point is, she finished that match. She finished the evening on her feet instead of on her back, considering how flat she landed on her head.
She certainly did. And speaking of someone who lands flat on his back, that's the American Fat Neck. He's going to be the guest of none other than... You know what? He's counted at this point. You know why he changes the light bulbs there? Because he's seen them so often flat on his back in the middle of that ring. Now,
The views are expressed by Dan
hashtag Wall. Shoot, pal.
Hashtag
now,
shoot.
Now, anyway.
You're ass kicked, dude.
Saturday should be a fun day. I'm there all day, pal.
I'm staying away from you so bad.
He ruined my pie. This is all revenge. Now,
whatever.
He ruined my pie, Dan. I'm upset. He did give me $5 for one tasty Claire. That's the type of knowledge that this man has. Now, anyway, he's going to be the guest of Robert Knight, our guest earlier tonight. Now, how do you see that Knight court going down? Do you see it breaking down, or do you see maybe some type of
retribution? I don't think it's going to last 5 seconds before somebody tears somebody's head off.
Fair enough.
That's it. I don't think two words will be spoken.
Now, we also have a respect match, Dan. HPR, the Hollister punk rocker, Glenn Storms taking on
your best friend,
King Blackie. And these guys respect each other. These guys are great guys, and it makes me sick, to tell you the truth.
Well, you know, God forbid you see some. You need to learn to lighten up just a little bit.
It makes me sick that these guys are going to go out there and, you know, glad stand for the fans. It's no good. I want to see who the first one to throw a punch is. That's what I want to see. How do you see that?
It won't be you, pal.
Oh, I'm not throwing punches.
This one I'm not going to comment on. Just see, let it unfold in the ring, folks. $10, exit 25A, off 295, 1030 Delsey Drive, building 4W.
Don't continue further down on 295.
No, there's nothing there but an oil refinery that caught fire.
Exactly, Dan.
I was there.
Stop at exit 25A, directly in the middle of 25A.
And Delaware.
Smell-aware Delaware, whatever.
Smells like carrots and pizza.
Carrots, did you say? Or carrots and
pizza.
I don't know.
Listen, I rolled down the window. That's what I smelled. Carrots and pizza.
Omega Squad.
I was having a stroke.
We've sat through some strange things Dan have said in the past. Now, carrots and pizza. How does that Velcro? Rank up there with shit on Velcro? How does that?
Who's editing what this week?
How does that rank?
You yell at yourself now, pal.
Yeah, I don't know. I think shit on Velcro is probably the more creative one.
Carrots and pizza. I was gonna keep that private, but no. Seriously, we're driving down for one of the ECWA shows, and it's right before the Delaware Memorial Bridge. And I'm driving with my girlfriend, and the window's down, and I go, "Yeah, it kind of smells like carrots and pizza." And she looked at me like, "Are you okay?" And I, before I said a word, I just started laughing. Like, don't worry, I'm not having a stroke. I swear to God, that's what how that went. It was like reading a Dave report.
You just never know where Captain Dave's going to go in his wrestling reporting. But
and I'm not sure what company he works for, but apparently he works everywhere.
He does. He works for CZW. Yeah, I was the man who introduced him to DJ Hyde. I don't know how that works.
What is you tried telling him four times, though. I did. Yeah, and then I did this, and oh, God.
Captain Dave. Captain Dave is a national treasure, Dan, that will...
Not all treasure is gold.
Okay, so the Fallout coming to you this Saturday.
Tickets, $10, NMRWrestling.com. And if you go to the NMR Wrestling Facebook page, the match that we were talking about, Sienna versus Cherry, with the Scoop Slam, with yours truly, Dean Dixon and Brady Hicks, is online right now, which I will link on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I'm good like that. Social media is wonderful.
Social media. Now, guys, we talked about it briefly in the beginning. WWE, a lot of people crying, moaning the blues, saying they went too far. How dare they use a heart attack as part of an angle? For those of you out there that say that, I have to say, my goodness, wake up. It's time to start getting a little edgy, I think. Let's go back and get edgy, quite frankly.
Because, again, I will bring up the fact And they weren't even, I mean, at that point, WCW was still on the other side of Attitude, quote unquote, when Flair had a heart attack. And Eric Bischoff caused it. And he was fine. And they pushed it off as food poisoning. Like, they went everywhere. I just thought of something else that I could compare it to at WCW. They went as far as to say, oh, I don't know, he's grabbing his arm. Without saying the words heart attack, he had a heart attack. It reminded me of a match that Tank Abbott had once. Yes, I'm a WCW dork. I forget who he was wrestling. It was the other shoot fighter guy that they brought in for a month that it failed, and then they fired him. But they had a match at Super Brawl 2000.
Ugh.
And at the end of the match, Tank Abbott pulls out a pair of scissors. Now, I'm going to edit myself, or do you care at this point?
Edit it, please.
Okay. He pulls out a pair of scissors with the guy lying on the ground at ringside, and he points the scissors to his throat and says, loud enough for the camera, "I could effing kill you." And Tony Schiavone on TV goes, "Well, he's got a pair of scissors. Is he going to cut his beard off? Is that a show? Is he going to cut his beard off?" "I could effing kill you. I'm going to cut your beard off." So all of this, it's calm down, everybody. It's not that big of a deal. Again, I said earlier, it's been touched on before. You had, you know, Triple H have sex with a corpse.
I thought that was Kane, then.
Well, I'm sorry. Kane had sex with a corpse. Kane with a northern accent. I screwed your brains out.
Omega, wait. You bring up a point, because when that happened, the Hell in a Cell forums were around at the time, and Omega, I think you were just so against that. You were like, oh, I can't. You were just aghast at that, if I remember correctly.
It was just hideous television. It was everything egregious about wrestling encapsulated in one horrible, horrible segment.
I had to see The Shrink for like 2 years.
I went so far. You know how forums have avatars?
Greg, your avatar, dude.
Well, just to kick the piss out of Omega, I made a avatar of that picture with Triple H's over the coffin. And it said, "I screwed your brains out."
Oh.
And I had that for, you know, a little while.
I tweeted me. I can't believe I did it. I screwed your brains out.
Oh, good time.
God.
They have Mae Young give birth to a hand, and everybody's having, you know, baby.
Exactly.
Everybody's
exactly.
Be over, what's his name, making fun of him because he had a heart attack. Dude, the guy lived. The guy's probably going to live longer than I ever will, that Dean ever will. Who gives a damn?
Not only that, he had to approve it.
Yes.
And he was part of one of the edgiest promotions ever with Memphis. So I think
attacking Memphis.
Him and Paul probably talked about it. You know, I mean,
told Paul to do the fake heart attack. Knowing King and how much crap comes out of his mouth, he probably told Paul, "Hey, man, you know what? You should fake a heart attack."
This is the same.
I guarantee it was his idea.
This is the same man that for years
was banging a 13-year-old in.
No, cat. Andy Kaufman.
Oh yeah.
Jeez. For years he kayfabed that. So
yeah.
Wait, did they officially come out and say it's not?
Did you not see that movie about Andy Kaufman?
That doesn't count. It's a movie. Oh, wait, no, but does that count?
Yes, that counts.
That was pretty much him saying it was all bull crap.
Oh, yeah, and I think they even had it on a Legends of Wrestling.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I wanted to know, did he actually
Yeah, he's had interviews. He's on the record saying it was all a work.
If you sat me down in front, if I showed that to any of my friends who have never seen wrestling before, and I showed them the clip on Letterman's show, they would swear to God that was real.
Letterman would swear to God it was real, probably now.
because when he starts cursing and having a fit after, and he smacked him butt good. I mean, he knocked his face off. He knocked him backwards out of the chair. And I'm sure he pushed back a little bit if it was fake. My point is he nailed him. And when he goes on that cursed tirade, it's gold. It was beautiful. Well, so before you were faking heart attacks and giving birth to body appendages, there was Memphis Wrestling and Jerry Lawler in a coffin. So, you know, stay off the forum, keep your fingers off the keyboard, and shut your bitching.
That's what I say. Omega, do you have anything to add with that?
No, I mean, I think we've covered it. I mean, this is wrestling. It's really not that big a deal. We've gone down this path before. Get over it. You're giving them exactly what they want, which is people talking about it.
Right,
exactly.
Well, but my biggest gripe about people who have a gripe about this is for weeks everybody's like, this is stupid. We need attitude. Well, here you go. And you know, you have a problem with it. Just shut up.
I agree. Do we have anything else to cover, boys?
Boys?
I don't know where it came from. I'm sorry.
Would like to... Go ahead.
I think you must get laughing or something. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna hit on the MMA thing, but if you want to keep on wrestling, that's cool. But
No. Do you have something MMA?
Did you happen to see the Rich Franklin Kung Lee fight?
I don't have fuel, so no.
Oh, do you happen to see the highlights? A knockout, a late knockout of the year entrant, Kung Lee knocking out Rich Franklin.
What round?
Round one, 2 minutes in.
Oh. So
it was just...
Was it brutal?
It was brutal in the fact that Franklin went out like a light, just kind of collapsed. Just folded. It was a pretty brutal knockout. He was on the ground for several minutes.
Oh.
But it was an interesting to see that, you know, Kung Lee, is he going to go anywhere? Probably not. He's a part-time MMA guy who actually managed to do it. Where does Rich go from here? I don't know. He was thinking about whether or not he's going to retire after this fight. I don't know. He needs to think hard as to whether he wants to do this any longer.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I mean, when you get that, but they said the same thing with Vanderlei Silva when who knocked him out? The guy with the red hair. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
The Crippler.
Lieben. Yeah.
Chris Benoit?
The real the only Crippler left.
The one who's still alive.
The real one. The one that didn't kill his family. Oh, that never happened.
It never did.
Oh, yeah. Let's not forget about the Raw, where they, you know, gave tribute to a murderer for 3 hours. Back to you, Chris.
She still remind me. But I think the Rich could still fight, though, which is and obviously Vanderlei could fight, still fight, but so I don't think this is a Chuck Liddell situation where he's just getting knocked out every time he walks in the cage. But you know. He's not
talk about, yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, but talk about a career that just fizzled out. Like, after he lost the light heavyweight championship, that guy, it's like you said, it was like he was the American Roughneck of UFC for a while. Just
dude!
Falling flat on his back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, just getting knocked out repeatedly.
Nice.
I don't think.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser.
When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights. When the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore, I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my. I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break. I'm gonna break my.
gonna break my rusty cage and run.